It's Australia's third longest river system, stretching for more than 1,400 kilometres from just below Brewarrina in northern New South Wales all the way south to Wentworth on the Victorian border. I'm talking about the Darling River, part of the mighty Murray-Darling system, and Tony Pritchard from Brisbane probably knows it better than most. He loves the solitude and the peace this river can bring as it meanders through the outback. Tony, this is a river that you know well. You've paddled it many times. Why the Darling?
What a question. How long have you got? Why the Darling? Yeah, I've done 12 trips and one on the Paroo. I think it's like you find something in life, like going to a country or a place, and after six or seven times you just start to get it. And that's what it is. And it's a spiritual river. It's good for adventure, good for looking for meaning, good fishing, good adventures. It's good for life.
Hello, I'm Amy Volkowski. I've come across Tony and his trusty canoe at Bourke in northwest New South Wales. How did you first come to paddle the Darling?
I ran away from home, sort of. So I'm a Dubbo boy. Came back from overseas, didn't fit in, I didn't think so, and couldn't play football anymore, couldn't do my trade. My mum had died, couldn't handle that, thought I was gay, just the usual stuff young man goes through. So I thought I'd run away. But I was a Dubbo boy, so I knew rivers. So it wasn't like I was a city kid. So I knew rivers, something special, and came down the day in a tinny, no motor, just drifted, just under 18 months.
People are the same that you meet along the river?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a lot of them. A lot of the people that I met have since died, of course, and sons and daughters are still there, and some stations have changed hands, and the towns change a bit, but no, it's exactly the same.
There are people who live along the river. It can seem like a bit of an isolated place maybe to people who don't spend a lot of time on it. But there are lots of farms and families that do live on there. How do you sort of go about pulling up and then going and introducing yourself, or do you sort of call ahead?
I just knock on the door and say, can I have a cup of tea? No, I don't. It depends. In the 70s, like now, the Bush Telegraph, everyone knows that you're coming down the river. It's just incredible. And I remember getting to Tilpa, and Fred and Jan Davidson were the ran the post office. And so I stayed there. He gave me a house to stay, and I stayed there for a couple of weeks. And people would call in saying, why didn't you call at my station? Not accusingly, but just saying, hey, we wanted to talk to you. And they would drive me back and show me around. So these days, maybe not calling as much. I had a rifle in the 70s, shooting goats and pigs and eating anything that wasn't nailed down. Now, no. I remember hitchhiking with the rifle over my shoulder. Probably wouldn't do that these days.
No, maybe not. So in those days you were hunting for your food as you went. How do you feed yourself on these trips?
I'm so fast I run pigs down. I can take enough food for 3 months. Like, I take flour to make my dampers. I've got dried beans, some freeze-dried food. I have actually caught a few pigs, but not now. A bit old and decrepit at the minute, but fish every night.
Has the supply of fish changed in the time that you've spent on the river?
Yeah, it has a little bit. The carp were in the 70s for sure, and there's still carp, sook carp there now, but the big ones, they're an excellent table fish, and that saying that has got me into more arguments in pubs than saying I back Queensland over New South Wales or like Ford over Holden or anything.
What's the longest period of time paddling that you've gone without seeing anyone?
Oh, 4 or 5 weeks, I suppose, maybe longer. Yeah. I did a talk at a school last year with some kids to do with writing, and I saw the boss a couple of days later, and he said, oh, the kids really enjoyed your talk. And he said, they got one special thing out of it. And I said, oh, wow, I'm thinking I've inspired a generation of writers or adventurers or something. And he said, they couldn't get over you didn't shower for a week. So I said, that is soft Western suburbs, because that's disgusting. I said, tell them a month, because you just, who cares?
Have you ever been afraid on the river?
Oh, every second day. yes and no. The risk is not so much. I got charged by pigs in the 70s plenty of times, and I got bitten by a snake as well. But apart from that, the dangers now would be, well, never take a canoe in the river lightly with a log, you can drown easily, is maybe falling over and breaking your leg or something like that, rather than, no, I'm not afraid of snakes, no.
You don't sound convinced. Have you ever seen anything in your journeys that are hard to believe, hard to explain to people?
Yes and no. Mainly the two questions I get asked, one is where do I leave the ute, which is a fair question because I just paddle down and make it up. But the other one I get is what do you do each day? And that is always, because people go fishing, there's bucket loads of people who love the Darling, who live here, who come out here, lots and lots of people. Everyone from Mildura comes up the Darling. Mildura must be empty at Easter time, I reckon. So they just say, but you've been on the river for 4 or 5 weeks or the longer trip. What do you do each day? But every corner is different. Every day is different. And I just, some people get it that you can just sit in a canoe and just drift down. A couple of times I've done 30 k's a day, but mostly I do, 2 bends or 5 k's a day. I'm here to look at stuff.